Lathrop is here to share his experience with us in the hope that it might help someone else. This is how we stay sober in Alcoholics Anonymous, by sharing with each other our strengths and our hope and our experiences. So without taking up any more of our good speaker's time, I'm sure he has a wonderful message for us. I would like to introduce to you Julian B. of Luray, Virginia.
Thank you, Jim. Good evening, folks. My name is Julian Bosserman. Hi, everybody. I didn't finish by saying that I was an alcoholic. And unlike Jim, I still don't know what the common market is. Any of you that are crowded and don't feel like staying, just go ahead, because I've had lots of people walk off and leave me while I was talking. And to you friends of mine that I already know, you're already gone, I guess. I know there's a lot of strangers here to me tonight, but there wouldn't be near this many people. As I said, my name is Julian Bosserman, and I'm an alcoholic. I drank liquor a long time. You can see by looking at me, I've been somewhere a long time. That's where it was. Actually, about all I have to offer you people is the example of what age is. I can tell you what I was, what I have been, and what I am now. My story is very unlike many. By this I mean, I've been sober a long time. I had nothing before I drank. I drank for many years. I had nothing. I've been sober for many years. I still don't have nothing. So this is not a great success story that you're going to hear. I started drinking back in the hills of Virginia quite a few years ago. I can best explain that, as you will tell with the way I tell my stories. That is, with a story, I'm not capable of handling the English language as a great orator. I've had many things to happen to me. Anything that I tell you, if you don't understand, see Mike Loftus after the meeting. He can tell you what it's all about. Let's say I started way back in what I call the Bloomer days. Many of you know what the Bloomer days, when they were. And back in the mountain where I came from, they made bloomers out of flour sacks. I don't know if I was alcoholic then, but I know my trouble started about the time self-rising flour come out. And it did something to me. I found, before I came to AA, incidentally, I was the same way as a kid at home. I had an inferiority complex. After coming to AA, the fellows proved to me there wasn't no complex. I mean, but a little bit of this liquor, and I wasn't afraid of anything, anybody. And I drank it when I was real young. See, back in the mountains where I came from, as you know, they were all friendly people. They go visiting on Sunday, and as a very young kid, on Sunday morning, the families would get together, and the more than they would get together, they'd say, come on to the barn all week. You know, they were all week looks alike, so I went with them. and they'd drink out of their traditional fruit jar, and about the time it got around to the third fellow, the first one would say, "It's pretty good, wasn't it? I mean, you could just about call it." I drank this stuff until I decided that I was big enough to leave home. And I swam the river and went off to make my fortune. Again, unlike many people you hear speak here, I had no trouble with alcohol in college. I didn't go to college. It didn't bother me in high school either. As well as I can remember, I don't think I had much trouble with it until around the third grade. This is nothing to laugh at. It takes a hell of a long time to get to the third grade where I come from. Well, when I went to the big city, like many alcoholics in Washington, D.C., I started my second phase of drinking. I started it on 9th Street in Washington, which was then Skid Row and still is now. It's a little darker now than it was then, but it's still Skid Row. And I drank with the bums on 9th Street at 16, and you might say I worked backwards from nothing for some 20 years. This isn't easy, but I did. I was a traveling drunk, or a wandering drunk, you might say. I'd get drunk and go somewhere. And where I sobered up, that's where I lived. And again, unlike many people, I never sent home for money. Didn't have no more money at home than I had with me. So I'd have to stay wherever I sobered up. As I say, I traveled quite a bit. I'd hitchhike all over the country, both directions on the same road. Well, I didn't know where I came from, so it made no difference where I was going. So I wandered around like this. And actually, I didn't know where I had been, what I was doing. I was an awful lot like my old uncle that came in one morning dragging a rope and said he didn't know whether he had lost the mule or found the rope. I didn't know what was wrong. I don't know yet for sure what was wrong, other than I liked liquor better than I did work. But I, being the economic situation, caused me to work for a little once in a while, and I learned to hang paper. Now, this is a hell of a mess, a drunken paper hanger. So I would drink a little to get enough strength to work a little, to get a little money, to buy a little more liquor, to get a little more strength, to work a little, to get a little more money, to get a little... I went around like that all my half a while ago. So I didn't amount to much, as you can see. I don't know. I didn't know then that I was an alcoholic. But I know that I got in a lot of trouble. Not serious, nothing serious at all. But it was a regular rat race that I went through for many years. Kept getting continuously worse as time went on. I tried all of the things that you people tried. I tried all the medicine. And again, unlike many people I have heard say, tried every way they knew to quit. I didn't do this. I doubted this about many people. I tried every way I knew how to keep drinking without dying. And I, doctors told me if I kept drinking, I was going to die, so I changed doctors. And I got to the point where many of you have been that I wanted to die. And then I got to the point of where I didn't mind dying, but I hated to do it every morning. Like many of you, I drink again in the morning just to settle my nerves. Sometimes it gets so quiet I couldn't move. I had an uncle, my favorite drunken uncle. He drinks alfatica on top of his liquor. I tried this. He did it for years. As a matter of fact, he drank so much, and you see him coming down the road on the wagon, he'd be foaming at the mouth. And a strange thing is, an alcoholic thinks, I often wonder what killed him. He went to the woods one day and died, and I wondered whether he ran out of liquor or alfatica. I really never did find out. But I found, in the later years, it kept getting worse and worse until I would drink until I could no longer walk or stand up, sleep, or eat. And then, of course, about the time just before I died, I would eventually quit drinking. I'd know that I had to, when I had kind of a regulator, whenever my watch began to get heavy, if I had one on my arm, I knew I was getting pretty weak. I knew it was time for me to start eating, so I would eat something that I knew threw up a eater, so I would start slowly to begin to come back. Now, this was true with me. It was a terrific job for me to sober up. I'd go back down in the country where I now live, and my dear old mother would try to feed me. She would think if you'd come to the table every day, it'd be all right. And I would make a great effort to go eat, and I would eat. And I'd get up and I'd run. After I was there about 3 days, when I went out, the chickens would follow me. This got embarrassing. A lot of the things I did was embarrassing to me. And even the neighbor's dog, when I was in town, when I'd come out in the morning after being drunk, I guess he watched me at night too, I don't know, but he'd look at me like that one. And have the dogs know, and I know these things do. Any of you people here that might think that you were drinking and people not knowing it, you're way off beam. I know that they knew it. I know the animals knew it. This uncle I was telling you about, I know that the hogs and the chickens on his farm knew when he was drunk. Because to get to be an old hog or an old chicken, you had to. He'd sell anything he'd catch. And I was the same way. But I went on for years doing this, suffering the sobering up and the working a little, and I didn't really know that I was an alcoholic. When I came to my first AA meeting, then a fellow told me, if you never get drunk again, you never have to sober up. This is the most brilliant thing I had ever heard in my life. Sounds very silly to you now, but it's the truth. I never heard of this before. I was very much like the old lady up home that came down out of the mountains every year and had a baby, and she'd go back to the mountains and did this for 10 years. And the last time she came down, and the doctor said, "Well, I'll see you next year, Miss Silfus." She said, "No, I'm not coming back." I said, "You're not." I said, "Why not?" I said, "Well, we found out what's causing this." I felt just relieved to know that this didn't have to happen. And it's been through the help of you good people and the God of my understanding that after coming to AA, I have never had a drink. But I had all my slips, and I'm sure that I couldn't have stood another one, because really, I was in bad shape. I may not look so hot to some of you now, but when I first came around, I looked like the advertisement on a worm oil bottle. I was in bad shape. I had no idea when I came here that you had to offer what you have. I came to get sober and stay sober. As I say, I came, I saw, and now I believe. I don't know what I expected, but I am sure that I never expected anything like I have found in Alcoholics Anonymous. I can truthfully say today that not drinking is one of the least benefits I received from AA. As I told you, I've been sober a long time. You heard a lot of people when they first come around, and me too was very proud of the length of sobriety. I've been sober so long, I'm almost ashamed of it. I mean, it's although I am proud, I'm a lot like a fellow goes out fishing and catches a big fish. You don't see him sneak up the alley with it. I mean, he comes right on the front door. But I say, I never knew that AA had to offer what it has. The friendship and the love that I have found in AA and the practicing of these steps and what it has done for me. I, like all other alcoholics, I worked some when I first came in. I tried. I had all of the defects of character that all alcoholics have. I still have them, only I have them arrested now. I worked a great deal for quite a while trying, like most alcoholics, to be a big shot that we all want to be. And I worked at it. I just wanted to be something, didn't matter what it was. But I found out, after some 5 or 6 years of trying, if you haven't got it up front, you just don't have it. And so I found out I wasn't going to amount to anything. So finally, through the teachings of this program, I decided that I'd try being nothing, and I was success overnight. I mean, there's really nothing to it. So this was the first teaching that I had, the learning of accepting what I could not change, and learning to live with what I had. I'm deeply grateful now that I didn't take off with any great ball of fire and make a lot of money, because I would have possibly been drunk. I've seen too many people come in and try to work too hard, and I think this is not only because I'm lazy, but I just don't think it's good for an alcoholic to work too hard. I'm against it anyway. Now, if you feel like you want to work, just go right ahead. I don't mind you doing it, but for me, this I didn't want. And for me being an alcoholic, the more sense than I've got to try to make a living without working, you've got to make a lot of arrangements. You see, a poor man don't do business, he just makes arrangements. And this is what I did. I have had all of the troubles since I came in that many of you have had. I started a little business of my own. They told me, people just like you said, don't worry, take it easy. But when they told me to take it easy, this was right up my alley. I was all for this, still am. But say, I had to make a living, and I didn't like to work as quite could possibly be. I don't like to think of it as such, which might be one of the reasons I was never much of a success, not liking work. But I made some arrangements and had a little business of my own, and a lot of things happened, and all the old timers say, take it easy, and if you and keep it simple. Now, if you keep it much simpler than I am, you probably won't get it at all, but when it comes to taking it easy, I learned how to do this. I remember a very fine story that my wife can attest to that stood me in good stead. I'd been in AA about 8 months, maybe a year. I had this little business going of my own, my contracting business, and one morning the phone rang, and two of the men said they'd be late. But whenever a painter's lady's drunk, there's no question about that. And before my breakfast was over, there's two more called up and they couldn't talk. I told my wife, I said, this looks like going to be a fine day. And I took off and went over on one of the jobs, and when I got there, the man was mad and squawking about the plaster hadn't fixed his ceiling right, and he didn't show up, and I began to get a little nervous, and I decided to, I better leave here, so I left, and I don't know, but I believe that old wheel began to roll, and I went by to collect some money. Now, if I collected this money, I might have got drunk, but the man said that I charged him too much, he wasn't going to pay me. And I came back by the other job, and my wife called me, she usually knew about where I was, And she said, you better get him home. Your brother's got DTs again. He's going crazy. You got to get him in the hospital. And said, incidentally, the oil man came and the oil tank's leaking. I said, I'll be right home. I went home at this time. It was about 11 o'clock and I didn't know for sure what was going to happen. But I went right on in through the living room and in the bedroom, shut the door, and my wife came in and I was undressing. She says, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to bed. She said, you're crazy. I said, yeah, they told me in this outfit to take it easy. I've got enough things to happen to me to get drunk a half a dozen times. I stayed in bed until supper time. I got up and I ate my supper and I went back to bed. I was afraid to go out. And for any of you people that's here, this is a true story. The next morning as I got up, as sure as I'm standing here, every drunken man I had working for me showed up. The man fixed his own ceiling and the fellow had found the wrong bill. He paid me. My brother was in the hospital doing good and the damn washer didn't swell up on the oil tank and it quit leaking. I've been taking it easy ever since. A lot of my creditors and other people that didn't go along with this taking it easy, but I said, if you mess with me and I get drunk, you haven't got a chance. This way, you might stand a chance. My wife didn't even go along with this, said I should do a little more. But sometimes when I tell you these things, I say something that I realize might be good for me, and this I told a man. I opened up a little store in the front of the house so I could buy stuff cheap, never sold a thing. I had that store open for 12 years. I had this store about 12 years, never made a dime. Yet, I think I was successful because a store within two blocks of me did thousands and thousands of dollars worth of business a day. And some of those poor fellows that was working too hard, I'd stay there till midnight to count the money. I could close at 4 o'clock and be in bed 1 minute after four. So to me, this was good. But I started to tell you that I said that helped me. There was a fellow came in my place one day and I was going fishing. I'm a country boy and I think the Lord made three times as much water as he did land, so I think you should fish three times as much as you plow. And I was going to go fishing, and I asked him to go with me. And he said he couldn't go. And I said, why can't you go? He says, I've got to work. And I said, why do you have to work? He says, because I'm broke. I said, how long have you been on this job? He said, 4 years. I said, hell, you could have gone fishing 4 years ago and just got back. And I believe these things. I believe them so strong, a lot of my friends have argued with me, but I have taken it so easy. 2 years ago, I decided to retire, and all my friends said, from what? I think you people in AA have taught me how to live. I believe you can make a living accidentally. I mean, I have. I really believe this. I never eat better in my life than I have since I've been down here. I do know some people that are very kind and I appreciate it very much. I was telling a fellow at home one day, I said, all I need to do is if things get a little rocky and I have to, I can work. I live on a farm. I don't have to pay any rent. Got a couple of nice springs. My water bill never comes due. I mean, I just enjoy living. You people have taught me how to do it. And to know the people like you, as I started just not drinking, to learn to know people that really are your friends, like you people, has taught me, and if that's the way I had to go to learn it, I am truthfully thankful for every sick day I ever spent. But I know of no one else besides us alcoholics that have learn this way of life that we have. I think it is second to none. I know that through you people I have learned to know a God of my understanding. I don't know how to explain it to you, but I know it's here. I got it from the 12 steps and you people. I know that the 12 steps will work. I have tried them. I believe in it and just have to do it to the best of your ability, not to anybody else's perfection. We do it good enough for you to stay sober at work. Through you people, I have learned to have a conscious contact with the God of my understanding. I get this feeling by trying to help another alcoholic. It is with me and something that is not a human being, by trying to help somebody else. I have said and say again that I have had great success in 12-step work. I have stayed sober. I've never got many people in AA. I tell them what it's all about, and here it is if you want it, and here it is if you don't want it. I don't have them any real good story, it's easy, or what have you. I tell them what the score is. Say, I'm not getting many in. I fix a hell of a lot of them so they leave you alone to get ready to come in. This, I think, is important. Quite true, as many people as I have talked to over the period of years, I think that a lot of them would have got sober if I had hollered fresh fish at all of them. So I have had a lot of people. I have two fellows that I'm sure that sobered up on account of me because they said anybody as crazy as I was could stay sober. They knew they could do it. And they're still sober. But I've done a lot of 12-step work. As I say, I've had great success. It has kept me sober. I have learned that in these 12 steps is the answer to any problem that I might run into with any given 24 hours. I believe this. We used to have an old fellow in our group that said, these are the tools of AA. Take them and work them. And then I heard a fellow later on say that in this set of tools, there's a wrench that'll fit every nut in here. I believe this. But having worked for me, I think it would work for anybody. But the great added attraction from just associating with the people in AA and learning how to live is the greatest thing that's happened to me. I, like many of you, worried about everything in the world. I was telling the fellow out here yesterday that when I used to go down in the country to sober up, I'd lay by the spring and drink spring water. Incidentally, if you ever get drunk again, this is just as good as any of the other stuff you can take. If you don't drink and drink spring water, I'd lay there and drink spring water and sometimes throw it up before it got warm, but I knew if I did this 2 or 3 days at work, and I then worried back in the mountain miles from anywhere about something that was none of my business. And you know what it was? And it was those trains up in my hometown about 5 miles off. You could hear them, and there was 3 trains going through there going south every day and 2 going north. I worried about how the hell they got them back. I expected the first time I came south to see the biggest pile of boxcars down here. I got sober in AA. I stayed sober. I still don't know how the hell to get them trains back, but I don't have to worry about it anymore. This is none of my business. I have found out that if I tend to my own business, I've got plenty to do. I have learned to accept the things I could not change. I have learned to like and love people for the people themselves as they are for what they are. Not only liking the ones that do like I want them to do. I can truthfully tell you tonight that I have no malice or no hard feelings towards anybody that I know. My wife told me once, says, you're just not this damn good. I said, I'm not being good to other people. I'm good to Julia. This don't worry me what other people do. And by accepting them as they are, I got some of the finest friends in the world. Of course, some of my friends are the most no-good bastards you ever saw, but they... this is perfectly all right with me. I had to like them like that or leave them alone. And it's a great way to live. I don't know much about the study of the Bible, but I do know what I have read. It tells me in no uncertain terms that I'm not supposed to set myself up as a judge. So who am I to say that what you're doing I don't like you for it. You may not like a lot of the things that I'm doing, but I can stay sober with it. And I'm a great believer in the fact that it is impossible to do something good for somebody else without having it returned to you in some way. This AA taught me. Because I can truthfully tell you, before I came to AA, I never thought about helping anybody else or never helped anybody else. Before I came into AA, I never thought about helping my wife with the housework. I haven't done a damn thing about it yet, but I think about it. I do. Well, this for me shows progress. I never thought about it before. I'm an awful lot like the old fellow in my country that came down the road in front of my brother's house one day and upset a load of hay right out in the road in front of the house, and he come on in. My brother says, come on in and have dinner with me. And he says, well, the old man will raise hell. He says, that don't matter. Come on in. And he says, okay. He went in and he sat down and ate dinner. And he says, I got to go. The old man's really going to raise hell. He says, what are you talking about? Where is this old man? He said, he's out there under that load of hay. This is just the way I was. I didn't care about anybody else but me. I still have the same wife that I had when I came here. I mean, through my drinking days and all. As a matter of fact, she's with me. I think I see her back there now. She's with me and going to these conventions with your wife, kind of like going hunting with a game warden with it. I really appreciate this girl and all of the things that she did for me and still does for me. But when I was drinking, I, like many of you, felt about her when she'd stomp around the house. She didn't say so much, but boy, she would take on about 40 pounds when I was laying at desk door. Just about, you know what I mean, about the third day after I had stopped drinking, it was a toss-and-go deal for about 2 days, and then about the time that I thought I might live, she'd come in. I would have this time come out of the bed and was laying out on the davenport, and I thought, maybe I'll make it. She'd start that damn carpet sweeper. Boy, this is an awful way to treat a fellow when he's dying. So I felt about like her, like a fellow did going down the street and met another fellow, and he had a little dog. He says, what you got there? He says, I got this from a wife. He says, I always thought, Lord, I could make a trade like that. I do think that all of the wives, and Al-Anon, I am grateful for all of the wives, husbands that are not in AA, but to you wives, let me say this, you caused us a hell of a lot of trouble too while we were drinking. But anything that didn't go along with my drinking, I didn't like. But now, I say, all of this you people have taught me. Learn to accept, to love, and to enjoy life. I think to this day it's a harder job to learn how to live than it is to make a living. I think you have taught me how to live. You have taught me how to understand God as I understand it. I'm sure that this silent prayer or open prayer or anything helps. I'm sure that it did even while I was drinking. I didn't notice it. I didn't appreciate it. But I believe you have to mean it. You can't do like one of my other drinking uncles. In fact, they all my uncles drink. But this old Uncle Jake was about to die one time, and he really thought he was going, and I think Aunt Jenny was hopped up a little too. But he asked her, he said, would you say a little prayer for me, Jenny? I don't think I'm going to make it this time. And she dropped down on her knees and said, dear Lord, please forgive my poor drunken husband. He said, hell, don't tell him I'm drunk. Tell him I got the flu. I don't believe this will do it. Because I too, like you, when I was drunk, I panhandled God. But when I ask for help, I get it. I'm sure that it works. I don't know how to explain it to you, but the way I feel about it, I feel very much like the old boy up home that went to church one morning. Preacher preached a very fine sermon, and when he got through, he said, now everybody wants to go to heaven, stand up. They all stood up except this old joker, and he said, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, yeah, when I die. But said, I thought you were getting up a load of wood right now. I may not understand it any better than this old boy. And I believe that any kind of spiritual learning or teaching that you have is for the good. I didn't have any. I was wide open. I learned from you people what I know. Because I lived about 3 stills from the closest church. I just didn't get there. I have learned, and I have many ministers and priests that are very fine friends of mine. I'm thankful to see the young people coming into AA now that are learning how to live. I don't know if it would have worked for me at that time when I was young or not. But I wish that I would have had a chance to try. I was ready when AA came along. I think this is the important thing for anyone that's here that's new. You're the only people I can talk to are the new people. I was ready when I came in. I can say to you the same thing that was said to me, if you never drink again, you never have to sober up. If you don't think you're ready, this is your business. If you're ready, it's our business. I don't know of any better way to tell you than the time element plays a great part in a man's sobriety, I believe. I can explain this best by telling you what happened to me as a kid back home, as I told you, by schooling days. See, where I came from, you actually didn't go to school until you graduated. You went to school until you got big enough to plow. I was coming home from school one day. We had a very pretty school teacher. And we were playing ball, and when the ball came down, she had her arms around me, and when I turned around, she kissed me. I jumped every fence from there home. I was big enough to plow. I mean, yeah. The point of this is, if that old gal would kiss me now, it wouldn't amount to much, but it was the right time. It'd be the right time for you. There's no better, no happier way to live than we have to live in AA. I wish I could go on and tell you the many great things that has happened to me. I have many friends, and they say I have retired from the business world. I've worked harder ever since than I ever did before, but I enjoy it. I enjoy AA because it has given me many, many things. To you people that work and that have lots of money, this is fine. But you people that are new coming into AA, in all of your hard struggle and all of your work and the financial status of this thing, be sure you don't lose the things that money can't buy making money. I truly believe that this is dangerous, to work too hard. Not just because I'm lazy, I believe it as surely as I believe that it is dangerous for a traveling man today that is an alcoholic to drive too long. There's an awful close margin between wanting a drink and something to eat for an alcoholic. Drive at a long term of high speed on the highway just might make you feel like a drink instead of something to eat. This thing is very dear to me, this AA and sobriety. You may think that I fool a lot about this, but I'm just as sincere about this thing as I am about life and death. Things go on as they've been going. I'm due to die sometime. I don't take this too serious, even. I don't jump up in the morning and throw my arms around my wife and say, "Honey, I made her last night one of our niggas through the day." And let's face it, it's not that much of a problem. AA to me is the way of life that is second to none. I don't want to lose. And the way for me to keep losing it is to try to give it away to somebody else. I had a fellow in Winchester tell me that he told him that his sponsor told him, "This is for the new man that's here tonight, or just sober a week, 10 days, or 2 weeks, or 2 months." He said his sponsor told him, "If you will call me before you take a drink, I'll go to hell for you." He said, "If you wait without me taking it, you can go by yourself." This, I think, was very important to me. So don't forget to stay in contact as I have. If it can work for a fellow like me, it can work for anybody. There is a great spiritual feeling amongst these AAs that I can express. And I have found few who just could express it to me, yet with another fellow I can feel this. And to you that may be doubtful, you can come from no further back than I did on the spiritual part of the program. Well, you can go still 1 minute and realize and think and actually accept the fact that in this room are people from all walks of life, from the ditch digger to the doctor to the lawyer to the smartest scientist, clergyman in the world. Here lies with you people something that the greatest scientist, the greatest doctor, or the greatest preachers in the world are not endowed with. You have something that can lift a drunken bum like me from the gutter to a happy, sober, normal life. If you can see this and not believe it, there is a power that will do it, then I don't know what it takes. It has done it for me. It can do it for you. I am grateful for every day of my sobriety. Just as much so as I'm grateful for the friendship, the great love of kindred feeling between me and you alcoholics, by letting me be among you, I'm truly grateful. I know that there's no other place that I could have gotten what AA has offered. I know of any good way to tell you. You have to see. As I say, I'm a drunken bum. It's some 25 years of bumming around the country. I'm not proud of it. I've been on some of the finest skid rows in the world, from New York to Frisco, and down the coast into 2 or 3 foreign countries. This would do you no good for me to drag you through these horrible fields. I woke up thousands of miles from home, broke, sick, no money, no liquor. Money didn't bother me. They didn't because I wanted to buy a drink. But you people have taught me to live happily with what I have today, which is a bunch of friends. This is it.
I don't believe that life begins at 30, 40, or 60, or at any particular age. I believe you actually begin to live when you are at peace with yourself, your fellow man, and your God as you understand it. This is when we start living. In AA, I have learned this. You people have done it for me. These 12 steps, I sincerely believe, will work for any problem. I think that any man or woman can stay sober just as long as he or she wants to stay sober. I think that AA will keep you wanting to. This is what it did to me. I only have no better way to explain to you people just what I mean than by telling you the old story that I have told many times in closing. I know you're crowded. You don't want to listen to me all night. I'm going to be here for two more days. I'd like to meet all of you and talk to you anytime. I got some stories I can tell you that I couldn't tell you from up here. Well, I'd like to tell you that the way I feel about the whole program and the love that I have for you people can only be expressed in this simple story that the old man in the country bought himself one of these great, fine, tall fiddles. And he started playing. He just went seesaw, seesaw, until his wife got to go nuts. He says, I don't understand. It says most people run their hand up and down the neck of that thing. He says, I know they do. He says,